Hello, Swamp Fox, and welcome to the February 2025 Fox Chatter. What a crazy winter already. It just snowed, and now a week later, it's going to be 60 degrees for the highs. A South Carolina winter, if you've ever been a part of one. This recent weather event really did challenge us, and your flexibility was the key to us staying safe and still getting the mission done. So first and foremost, everyone has a responsibility for safety, and right now we are in a peacetime training environment, so our need to accept unnecessary risk is just not there. If you find yourselves in a situation where you feel like it's unsafe, definitely call Knock It Off and contact your supervisor, run it up your chain, and talk about it. If we have a 10 o'clock delayed reporting time and your driveway is still completely covered in ice and you can't safely get out of that, or the road conditions where you live are different than the rest of Columbia, take a step back, see if it's actually necessary, and make a phone call before you put yourself in that dangerous situation. So from a wing perspective, it's very difficult to make a call that encompasses everyone. So if 95% of the force can make it here safely, that's probably what we're going to make the call towards. And then I need the other 5% who have a different situation to make sure they voice that. Driving in the dark with black ice is one of the most dangerous things we could probably do. So I just ask you to continue to be careful and make smart decisions. Don't take an unnecessary risk. Along with that, we also need to think outside of the box. Unfortunately, being in South Carolina, we are not afforded all of the resources that our friends that live in the north have for snow removal. So we're not authorized to purchase any snow equipment or snow removal equipment. So that leaves us with a lot of manual labor and thinking outside of the box. So an example of that would be maintenance deciding to tow the jets and turn them around because there was still a lot of snow out in front of the sunshades. And it's a great idea. If we're going to crank the jets and run them for 30 minutes, point the exhaust at the remaining snow and ice and see if it'll melt away. And that was somewhat successful, but it was definitely worth the chance to see if it was going to work. And we need to continue to do that kind of thought analysis and figuring out how we're going to accomplish the mission, because that is a prime example of what's going to happen in an agile combat employment scenario. We're going to be presented with challenges that we're not used to or we haven't seen before, and we might not have plans or the equipment necessary to do the job, but we got to figure out how to do it anyway. And then as we do that, we have to evaluate the risks that are going to be involved with it. And again, we're in a peacetime training environment, so we're not willing to accept additional risk. As we do exercises, we may ratchet up our acceptance of risk and do things we're probably not comfortable doing on a day-to-day basis. But if we're doing that, we're also going to have supervision looking over your shoulder to ensure that we are still doing that in a safe and correct manner. So that's going to be a highlight of an upcoming March drill as we get into a super drill with an exercise focus. But for this February drill, we have two primary focus areas. The first one's preparing for our upcoming O&E mobilization, and then the second is preparing for the March wing level exercise. So if you're fragged to be mobilized for O&E, please ensure you're getting all of your medical and readiness requirements completed. You have access to all of the information you need to determine what you need to do. And if you still have questions on that, please contact your supervisors or your commanders and be proactive to get these things done. So medical service will be available and can be scheduled through your unit health monitors this February drill. And you can also reach out to medical if you have questions or you need help getting any of those things accomplished. Due to some operational security concerns, we're not going to jump into too many specifics for O&E, but please talk to your supervisors if you have any questions at all about what's going to be expected of you, what you think is going to happen, or if you're not getting the resources that you are entitled to, such as track here before the deployment. This March drill is going to be exciting, it's going to be challenging, and we're going to be executing that four-day super drill and working on our agile combat employment capabilities. It's going to be our third evolution of that. We practiced ACE here at McIntyre, then we ACE down to the Caribbean to have one dislocated operating location. And in this next iteration, we're going to jump into a little more complexity by having at least two locations that we're operating out of, in addition to operating here at McIntyre. So this February drill, it's going to be a chance for you to get current on C-burning, something you probably haven't done in a while. Get familiar with your Kim gear again, and just make sure everything is serviceable and you have the required training to be able to operate in that upcoming environment in March. So in this episode, we are going to have a few guest speakers. We're going to talk to two members from Third Go who are going to give us some updates on an upcoming morale event they have planned. We're going to have Major Flex Bass join us and give us a little bit of a deeper look into what's planned for the upcoming March drill. And we're also going to have a quick introduction from our new Wing Command Chief, Chief Master Sergeant Eric Bowen. So again, for this February drill, it's really just a preparation time for getting ready for March, where we're going to have a real tactical focus and a wing level exercise. So please take advantage of this drill to get any additional training accomplished that you can, and make sure everything is ready. So when you show up in March, we hit the ground running and we focus on tactics and we can put some of the admin behind us. All right, before we dive into our first topic, I want to welcome some folks from the Third Go who are going to be putting on an upcoming morale event. We've got Jory Middleton and Nadine Carruthers, and they're going to give you some information on a daddy-daughter, mommy-and-me sweetheart dance.
Yes, sir. So the Third Go is going to be hosting the first ever daddy-daughter, mommy-and-me sweetheart dance at McIntyre. It's going to be hosted in the main hangar this February 16th from 1730 to 2100.
There are posters up all over base with QR codes for you to register for the dance. And we really wanted this to be a great opportunity for our Swamp Fox family to expand into our community with our regular families at home, to make them feel included as well. It's going to be a great event. We have some catering. We have a DJ. There's going to be some other special things that are going to happen that evening that we'll leave for surprise. But please come out and join us. We just want to celebrate with all of you and continue to communicate with our fellow airmen and bring joy and boost morale here at McIntyre.
So with a sweetheart dance, does that mean, you know, we're targeting fathers and daughters? It's open to a lot more people, right?
Yes, sir. It's open to a lot more people, not just daddy daughters, mommies and sons, grandparents and their grandchildren, your husband or wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever it is. We invite all of you to participate in this first ever sweetheart dance.
We are also going to have photos being taken at the event. There'll kind of almost be like a little prom photo session set up at the event as well. We're looking in having a candy cart, a dessert bar. Our own Kim Talbert will be making a cake for the event, and it will be catered.
So this is a great chance for people to incorporate their at-home family with their Swamp Fox family. So bringing your families out so they can have some memories from McIntyre. And then at the same time, a chance for you to spend some time with your family and create some memories of your own. And how much will this event cost members to attend?
There is a registration fee of $10 per person, but that is just for the cost of the event. All of the additional cost is being provided by the Third Go to make this a memorable event for everyone here at McIntyre.
Nadine and Jory, thanks. We appreciate everything you're doing for this. It should be an awesome event and a great time for people to bring their families out and really enjoy McIntyre and Jailers Fellowship. Thanks for Third Go and everything you guys are doing for the Swamp Fox family.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having us here.
All right, now let's get back into what you can expect in our upcoming March Super Drill. So today we got Major Flex Bass from the Operations Group. He's currently the Chief of Standards and Evaluation, so our Chief Evaluator Pilot in the Ops Group, and he has been selected to be our Warlord for this upcoming wing level exercise. Flex, welcome. What can we expect for this upcoming March Super Drill?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. So big picture, we're looking to expand on previous exercises that we've done, test ourselves how we would operate in an austere or ACE environment. March Super Drill, so it's a four-day Super Drill starting on Thursday and ending on Sunday. For the exercise, our primary days are going to be Friday and Saturday. We're going to be expanding on what we did in Caribbean Fox, where we had one austere location. This exercise is going to be two separate austere locations, where we're looking to test herself both tactically from the operation side as well as a wing, how we operate from those two locations with limited personnel and limited resources.
Yeah, so that's a key to this. This sounds like a lot to handle for a four-day drill, but really only 2 days of the super drill are going to be focused on this exercise. So that initial Thursday is kind of a setup and prepare day, and that final Sunday is going to be more of a cleanup and hot wash. So it's really only the 2 days, Friday and Saturday, where we're going to be truly executing in this drill exercise mentality.
Yeah, what you can expect, the primary weight of effort for the exercise will be on that Friday and Saturday. There'll be Seaburney elements that will be implemented into the scenario, as well as mass CAS events. There'll be different things that drive or test our ability to operate within that environment, like I said previously, with both limited personnel and limited resources.
Okay, so the limited personnel and limited resources, that's a key to this as well. So at the out locations, we're going to have very small footprints of people, and that is intentional, and that's also going to drive some learning objectives in itself. We know we're not going to know the answers to everything, and part of this is thinking on your feet.
That's right, yeah. So big picture, you want to try to put yourself in prepping for this exercise and then actually during the exercise, how we would operate in that actual environment, thinking ahead to the future, if we had to actually do this real world, what we would do and how we would make decisions with both those limited resources and limited personnel.
Yeah, and you're probably going to make some mistakes, right? We know that we're probably going to mess some things up, but that's part of this. So the idea, again, is to make it difficult, make us think on our feet, and actually make errors, because that's what we're going to learn from.
Yeah, that's right. I would say don't be afraid to make a mistake or make a decision. So afterwards, ideally, we're going to go back and look at everything. We're going to take lessons learned from this exercise, from previous exercises, and then try to implement that in our future training so that we are better prepared if this happens in real world.
Yeah, and also people hear super drill and exercise, and they think we're back into an IG inspection, which that is not the case. We are still just part task training. It's going to be measured. It's going to be a normal drill work day. Folks of the outbase are going to be coming back to McIntyre to the max extent practical unless we encounter things that are unavoidable. But it should be, just a fairly regular work schedule.
That's right, yeah. Don't expect overnight or sleeping in a tent. You're going to show up to work at some point in the morning. We'll have a start X. We will go through our exercise throughout the day, and then towards the end of the work day, there'll be a pause X on that Friday, and then it'll be a rinse and repeat with some different elements added in on the Saturday.
All right, so this is really just kind of piggybacking on what I said last month's podcast with we need to exercise more frequently. So every 6 months or so, we're going to have a super drill, and those super drills are going to be focused on tactics. And this is our first iteration of that. We are going to be very mission focused because we know that's what you all joined the Guard and the military to do, which is to do the mission, not sit around doing paperwork. Here's a good chance for us to get after that mission, which is always at the forefront of our training. So,
yeah. So things to think about prior to the drill or what you can do this upcoming February drill prior to March is make sure you have your chem gear. Like I mentioned previously, there's going to be a Seaburney aspect to this. And then also make sure you are current on all of your training so that you're better prepared when we actually go through this during the exercise.
All right. Well, that's a brief overview. Next month's podcast, as we get ready for the super drill, we'll have some more specifics about how we may be affected. But we'll pass that information along. If you do have questions this drill, then make sure you ask your supervisors and don't leave any question unasked.
All right, sir. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Flex. All right, next we're going to welcome our incoming Wing Command Chief, Chief Master Sergeant Eric Bowen. But before we do that, I want to thank Chief Master Sergeant Rob Hartzog for the exceptional job he did as the Wing Command Chief. When he was Wing Command Chief, he was balancing two jobs. He was also Chief of the Command Post as his full-time job, and then he was doing the Wing Command Chief as his DSG weekend drill job. So that's difficult to manage two very challenging jobs at the same time, and he did a fantastic job doing that. And that's evident by him being selected as the next State Command Chief, where he will be starting those duties February drill. So part of this process was interviewing chiefs across the base for this job, and we had five exceptional candidates who put their names in the hat, and out of that we selected Chief Bowen. But the other four that applied made this an exceptionally difficult task of selecting who was going to get this job. They've all done fantastic things. They all represent themselves and this gang very well. But we have chosen Chief Bowen because of his exceptional background, his focus on mission. And he's also coming to us from the maintenance group, which just happens to be the largest group of enlisted on the base. And I think that represents what we're trying to push for in our upcoming year, which is we're trying to take care of airmen and we're trying to make sure that everyone's voice is heard. So he's going to be the third leg of the leadership triad between me and the deputy commander and now our wing command chief. So Chief Bowen, welcome to the podcast.
First and foremost, thank you for entrusting your enlisted airmen with me. And secondly, I want to also thank Chief Hartzog. His mentorship, his guidance for the wing has been phenomenal. And obviously, we're stronger for him and because of him. About me, I have over 30 years in the South Carolina Air National Guard. I started out in aircraft structural repair, and we had a motto, you bend it, we mend it. I went from there to the FAB flight, then spent some time in the phase inspection arena, and then went to the flight line where I learned a lot about dynamics and ever-shifting schedules and just how chaotic things can be at times. But I am better for it. There was a good group of dudes there that helped guide me. And then I got selected for the equipment maintenance flight chief over in maintenance squadron, which was like returning home to me. And then Colonel Gamble, prior to his retirement, selected me as his group senior enlisted leader. Learned a lot, grown a lot, made mistakes, and learned from my mistakes. I'm ready for this, and I thank you.
Well, I thank you. Part of this transition, as I said before, Chief Hartzog, in his full-time capacity, was working over at the command post. We've determined that this is an extremely important job to our wing, and in order to take advantage of your expertise and your knowledge, we're going to move this to a full-time position and see how we can sustain that and what kind of rewards we can get from it. So to do that, we got to move some resources around from the wing. So moving over as a technician from the maintenance group. So I thank the maintenance group for allowing you to move up. It's going to benefit them and it's going to benefit us at the same time. But that's going to highlight the importance of taking care of our airmen.
We have outstanding airmen, we have an outstanding NCO tier, and we have phenomenal senior NCO corps here. And it's all about trust. So how do we build that trust? People have heard me say this before, you cannot lead from behind a desk. You got to be out and amongst people. You got to get to know them. You know them by name, know their family, know their struggles, know their victories. Praise them in their victories, help them in their struggles. And that is one of my main objectives, is to get out, be present, listen, shake hands, get to know people, and, you know, listen to the feedback. Because ultimately, an organization this big and this dynamic, we have to take the feedback, and that's the only way we're going to get better. If we show that we're getting better and we're listening, that's how you build that trust. And that foundation grows, and it grows. And ultimately, I'm a believer that our lethality grows with that. Because at that point, they're learning, they're growing in their career fields and their AFSCs.
Yeah, absolutely. We're building a team, and we need everyone on the team to make the team better and keep us at our championship caliber. So a challenge of being such a strong and championship-worthy organization is maintaining that. So,
well, part of maintaining the championship team that we have is in our preparedness. When I talk preparedness, I'm talking about your AFSC skill level, okay? Are you coming in? Are you being challenged? If you're not being challenged, I urge you to go to your military supervisor and say, I want to try this. If you fail, cool. There's a learning opportunity there. We get better through our failures. You know, another thing is going into the cycle that we're in and what's coming down the road, IMR. It's an individual medical readiness. How many people access the portal every weekend and go check their IMR to see what they're due? Okay. Another part of that is the ready airman training. That is going to be an ongoing cycle that, quite honestly, years ago we used to do. Now we're getting back into it. So I think it's that we're coming in with that mindset that I may have CBRNE training. I may have self-aid and buddy care or TCCC. It's coming in with the mindset that drills are going to be different. We're going to step the game up a little bit. So if and when the whistle does blow and we get that call to go serve the nation, we're not having to spin up so quickly. I think that takes a lot of the thrash out. If we take care of this consistently with the help of our chiefs and our seniors and our middle tier NCOs, that thrash and that anxiety level that sometimes can come with this is hopefully eliminated, and everybody's just, they know they're ready. They've been trained to the utmost of our ability and their ability, and they can go out and do what we do best, and that is project our lethal capabilities. And it's not just a maintenance and ops group that have that lethal capability. It's the maintenance support group. It's the FSS. It's our engineers. It's our logistics resource squadron. It's our POL. It takes everybody coming together as one team to project what we're able to project.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we transition to a deployable combat wing structure here in the future, we'll probably be able to exercise that a little bit better as we become one fighting force that trains and operates and deploys together. I'm really looking forward to that. It's also another opportunity to really give a chance for what you said about our middle NCOs. They are definitely an exceptional group of individuals, and this is an opportunity for us to push a lot of responsibility down to them and give them a chance to become leaders and grow. So empowering our middle level managers to actually be managers and not followers.
Absolutely. You know, with the exercise coming up next month, I think this is a prime opportunity for those who know it well to step back and allow some of our younger airmen and younger NCOs to get in there and show what they can do. And I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised at what they can do. Will there be mistakes made? Oh, yes, that's okay. But we're at a zero risk level right here, right now. So this is the time to take that risk and allow them to make their mistakes. That way, when we do get tasked as a DCW going down range and that young NCO is having to make that decision by themselves, they're better for the mistakes that we make at this zero risk level, and they'll learn from it. Ultimately, that makes the individual better, it makes the shop better, it makes the squadron, the group, and the wing better. So that's what I'm looking forward to with the exercise, is seeing some of our younger guys and gals, NCOs and airmen, and I would even say young senior NCOs being thrown into the mix and allowing us to see what they can do.
Yeah, definitely. When we're operating at these small footprint out bases, there's not going to be a squadron commander on the ground to run the show. It's going to be a young captain who's a flight lead who brought his foreship in. And on the ground for maintenance, it's going to be maybe a tech sergeant or a young master sergeant who's running that show. So
absolutely.
Having the senior leaders who you've always probably relied on to make the decisions for you aren't going to be there. They might not even be reachable by a phone. So
yeah, so now is the time to train to that level. And I get excited when I think about it because I know how I was brought up. I was just thrown into the mix, and I'm air quoting here for those who can't see it, the buck sergeant. When I made buck sergeant, which is a long time ago, I was thrown into the mix in Desert Storm, and it was a sink or swim. Thankfully, prior to being thrown into that mix, I was trained to that capability. And it's exciting times for us as a wing to be able to watch our NCO Corps grow and truly become the leaders that I know that they are.
Yeah, absolutely. You said sink or swim. So if they do swim, great. We're going to pat them on the back. And if they sink, well, we're not going to let them drown.
No.
So we'll pick them up. We'll put a life jacket on them, and we'll teach them how to swim better.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it as well. I think it's going to be great. Well, Chief, welcome to the team. Truly, I'm excited about getting you up here full time and being able to represent, well, not just the enlisted force, but the entire force, and being a voice for making us a better place tactically and personally as we look to take care of all of our people, both professionally and personally. I think it's going to be great, and welcome.
I appreciate it, Colonel. Again, thank you for your trust in me. Let's get it going, and let's go.
All right, that's going to wrap up this February edition of Fox Chatter. Again, this upcoming February drill is a good chance for you to get caught up on all of your training and get prepared for the exercise that we're going to be doing in the March Super Drill. Thanks for everything you've been doing. Thanks for staying safe. Thanks for thinking outside of the box. Continue to keep that mentality as we work through ACE concepts and we start getting prepared to become a deployable combat wing here in the future. I'm really excited about all of the things we talked about in today's episode. The Third Go event is going to be a fantastic opportunity for you to bring your family out to McIntyre and share your work experiences with them and give them a chance to see our base, and then also give the base a chance to see your family. So it's going to be a great time. I highly encourage you to attend that. Really looking forward to the March exercise. It's a chance for you to show how great you are at executing the tactics that we've always been so good at. And I'm also exceptionally excited to have Chief Bowen coming up to the wing level and representing all of you. So there's going to be some change, and I think it's all for the better. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's a great time to be a member of the Swamp Fox. Semper Promise.